All right, as we're continuing our series here on Psalm 91, the secrets of Psalms 91. Everybody say this, I have the keys,
I have the keys.
Of the kingdom of heaven.
Whatever I lock
on earth
is locked in heaven.
Whatever I unlock
on earth
is unlocked in heaven.
I
have control
of the blessings in my life.
Praise God.
God's already given his blessings.
He's already spoken his blessing.
He released it into Adam.
That's passed on.
Now it's up to us to receive it.
Amen.
So
last week we talked about
the secret place.
He who abides,
he who dwells in the
secret place of the Most High
shall abide
under the shadow of the
Almighty.
We
sent out Wednesday,
a word of the
week
that gave us a little
more
on the
secret place.
You know,
Jesus talked about these
things in the
Sermon on the Mount.
He said this,
but you,
again, there's a
but
you,
when
you pray,
go
into your room,
and when
you have shut the
door,
you need to shut the
door on your past.
You need to
shut the door on the
noise.
You need to shut the
door on the confusion.
You need to
shut the door on all
small thinking.
You know,
Oral Roberts used to
have that little thing on
his desk that said,
no
small
thoughts
will happen
here, or something
to that effect.
Think no
small thoughts here.
We think
big.
Yes. We think
big
because God is big.
But
you, when you pray, go
into your room, and
when you have shut the door,
pray to your Father
who is
in the secret
place.
And
your Father who sees
in secret
will
reward you
openly.
Now, that
doesn't mean you have to
go
out
and try to
get those rewards.
No.
He says
he will reward
you openly.
That
means when
you have
connected with
God in that
secret place,
guess
what's going to happen?
The shadow
of the Almighty
will cover
you. His
silhouette
will
be there.
Amen.
And everybody
will start to
identify you
with God.
And it says,
give, and it shall be
given to you.
And
give,
and it shall be
given. Good measure
pressed down, shaken
together, running over,
shall men
give unto you.
Poosh.
Isn't that good?
Yeah,
you're going to have to get
outside
and reap. You're going to
have to do that.
But here,
you start
saying with your
mouth,
like
Dwight teaches.
Boy, that's good stuff.
But
you, when you have
entered into
your room
and you have
shut the door,
pray
to your Father who
is in the secret
place, and he who
sees in secret
will
reward you
openly.
You've got to
connect with God.
You've got to
connect with him in
that secret place
and
receive
his counsel.
Hear
his voice.
Listen to him.
Then you will
be in the present
moment. Nothing
will take you by
surprise.
You will be
in
charge
of every
moment.
You'll be
in charge
of your
direction,
too,
because you're being
led of the Lord.
Praise
God. Does it make
sense to you?
See,
when you
love someone,
your
natural
inclination
is to share
your secrets with
them.
Right?
Well,
and you want them,
you want to
know everything about them
too. And when
people start sharing
their secrets
together,
there
is that
intimate trust,
that
relationship
that's established
in
that openness
that you have.
Well, God is
love.
He wants to
share his secrets
with you.
He wants you to
share yours with him.
Not that he doesn't
know about it,
but he wants
you to open
up and start sharing
with him. There's
nothing
about you
that he doesn't know
anyway.
So
share it with him.
Share
things with him,
because you know what?
It helps
activate
the counsel of the
Holy Spirit
when you
start opening up
and being honest
with God
about
everything.
And then
the counsel of the
Holy Spirit
starts to give you
wisdom,
understanding,
a workable
knowledge of the Scriptures,
how to
apply them.
So
we talked about
the
secret place
last week, and
today we're going to
talk about the secret
of truth.
Now,
a bit of review from
last week. is that we see in Psalm 91, it is divided into four separate and distinct parts. The first part is the subject, verse 1. Dwelling in the secret place and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the subject of this whole thing, and the rest of it is how it works. Verse 2 is how we get involved in this process. I will say of the Lord. You got to say something. The third part is your high priest, Jesus, rising up and start releasing words, promises, blessings, covenant realities with you. He starts speaking these things over you. And then verses 14 through 16 is when God starts speaking over you. So you have four separate and distinct parts of this, but they all work together. You got that? The secret place. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. That's it. You've made your confession. You've declared your faith in God as your God, your refuge, your fortress. Now, when the sudden shock comes of a surprise, who's your fortress? Where do you default to? Do you say, what am I going to do now? Or do you say, Father, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God, and I'm trusting in you. Yes. Amen? Amen? Okay. Okay. Thank you for that interruption. So I love the flow of this thing now. You got to jump start it now. Okay, the subject, secret place, abiding. Two, second part is our involvement. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Verse 3, Jesus rises up. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, what does it say? It says, consider, therefore, brethren, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. This is a reminder. Where is that, John? You got a Hebrews 3:1? And wherefore, brethren, or therefore, brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Are you a partaker? Yes. You know, it's just not. Peter says you are a partaker of the divine nature. God is in you. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your what? Of our confession. Jesus is the apostle sent one to be the high priest to mediate what you say. And when you confess, God is your refuge, your fortress. God is my healer. God is my deliverer. God is all of those things. He is my peace in the storm. He is all of those. And when you confess that, Jesus starts in verse 3 of Psalm 91. Let's go there. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall trust. And what does it say? His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. This is the words that Jesus is speaking over you. Let's go on. For you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the hour that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. You'll see it, but it won't come near you. Because now this is how you can tell. This is Jesus talking. He says, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you. You know, the devil quoted this to Jesus in the wilderness. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall you trample under your feet. Jesus said that to his disciples. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, no, not one thing, shall hurt you. Now, in verse 14 through 16, the Father has something to say to you. He is speaking his word into you now. And he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now this is going into number 13, I think, of 30 reasons why we know it's God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time. Because we're promised long life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we write that one down. Because we have the promise of the Father. So now we see this. We confess our faith in God. God, Jesus, stands up and starts declaring things over us. Then the Father speaks his blessing into us the same way that he spoke his blessing into Adam and Eve. He blessed them and what? Said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, replenish the earth, subdue it. And by the way, replenish does not mean to refill. I know when there's a prefix of R-E, usually you think that's refill it or redistribute it or whatever. But in this case, it's not a, what do you call it? It's not a pre thing. It's part of the whole word. See, and the same thing with receive. If you receive that, does that mean you've already received it? No, replenish simply means to cram full. That's all it means. And they made these big doctrines out of this pre-Adamic race, thinking that Phineas Dakes came up with that because to refute the evolution theories that were getting popular in his day. He was the one who came up with that pre-Adamic race. If there is a pre-Adamic race, no other writer in the Bible knew about it. Okay, where were we on this? So he speaks his blessing the same way he spoke into Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. See, when you learn the secrets of truth, you're going to have to learn some things about dominion. This whole thing is about dominion. This whole thing is about dominion. The devil figured out a way to get in and dominate man. And you know, everything in this psalm is done through words. Did you notice that? You say something, Jesus says something. When he's through talking, the Father says something. Then the Holy Spirit quickens it to you. Now, under the new covenant, this is exactly what's going on. This is a prophetic picture of the New Testament and how it works. When you come before God, and I think it was when we were watching Blue Bloods one time, and Danny Reagan said, yeah, you know, I don't pray anymore. I mean, there was always a one-way conversation. I speak, nothing. He's silent, and nothing happens. That is not true. If you believe this, and if you believe the things in the new covenant, when you pray, it activates things. In heaven, Jesus starts to stand up. Angels are starting to be released. But if you don't walk in the reality of that, you will never be in position to receive anything from God because it has to be through faith. It's your faith. It's your faith that takes and receives the provisions of God. Even after he's given them and released them, it's still by faith that you need to take them. This is truth. Truth, you know, the truth for you is the same as it is for me. Truth is what God has said about, God says about you. Remember when he said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. The word and truth. In John 17:17, he said, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So in order to know what truth is and what it does, you need to know what the word is and what the word does. When you know what the word is and what the word does, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because you will be able to put it to work for you. The secret of truth is realizing that truth goes beyond what you can see, what you can smell, what you can speak, what you can hear, or what you can touch. It goes beyond your five physical senses. It's doing the word. You know, I've had people say to me too, you know, you're getting this thing narrow, like it's all this word. No, I'm giving you a door to the biggest kingdom, the biggest explosive kingdom that you ever could even imagine. The door is narrow, but once you get in there, you struck oil. Once you get in there, you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to know the King of Kings. You're going to look at him eyeball to eyeball. He's going to see right into you. And you know what he's going to see? He's going to see himself in you. Do you know, your eye is an amazing, the word pupil, it came into being in the Middle French right around the 1500s, sometime there, where pupil was used for the eye. And it was a real good substitute for what they were talking about being a disciple of Jesus, is because your pupil, if you get real close to someone and you look them in the eye, you can see your reflection in their eye. When Jesus looks at you, guess who he sees? He sees Lichka, but he looks into your eyes and he sees his reflection in your eyes, and you begin to see what he sees, like he sees, how he sees things. And you're going to see that situation. This is not insurmountable. This is not hard. This is not difficult. I'm going to do what he says to do. Boom, it's done. I'm making a decision now, and I'm going to terminate that, and I'm going to establish this, and things are going to be new. And if there's problems with that, that's not your problem. You've done the word of God. You've done the truth. You know, we see that in 1 John where people were doing the truth. In fact, let's go there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. You know, without truth, we have no standard of fellowship with God. Did you know that? 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, we are not doing the truth if we're walking in darkness. Now, darkness could be anything. It could be ignorance. It could be sin. It could be a wrong mindset that you have to break. But whatever, if we're walking in darkness, we lie and we are not doing the truth. Without truth also, we have an incomplete knowledge of sin. And we deceive ourselves. It says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. How do you reconcile that? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. How do you recognize? See, we all have a flesh. Paul, the apostle, said, I do everything I can to keep my flesh under. You need to keep your flesh under, and the only way that you can do that is to crucify it.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. I mean, that is a three-headed monster. It's the pride of life, it's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and it wants to dominate you. But no, you have dominion over your flesh, and here's the dominion, how it's exercised. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Word. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
God.
If you walk in the Word, you're walking in the Spirit. 1 John 2, verse 4. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar and the truth isn't in him. When you lie, we don't even know what lie is. We think a lie is when you're telling a lie. But that's not where it stops. That is true. That is a lie when you tell a lie. But a lie is deceptive. Apart from the truth, absolute truth, there's room for lies. Why is that? Well, because the truth is pure. The wisdom of God, which is the Word of God, it says in Luke 11, 49, it says Jesus called the wisdom of God the Word of God. And he said, if the truth, let me see how I can put this. James chapter 3 says, the wisdom or the word that comes from above is first pure. That means it is absolute light. It says in 1 John 1, God is light, is pure, peaceable. In other words, it starts releasing peace into every situation. Without the Word of God, everything else apart from the Word is a lie. That means if you believe anything other than the Word, you're believing a lie. You say, well, now you're getting really narrow. No, I'm opening up a huge kingdom to you that is filled with light, filled with power. Truth lives there. Truth lives there. Now, truth is not something that you just, that's just, truth is a very rare and valuable commodity nowadays. I think we can all agree with that. The news is nothing but deception. The schools are nothing but deception. The government is nothing but deception. I mean, now we've got a president who has been bilking this country. They're calling him, I'm just quoting the news, saying they are calling him the Biden crime family. Millions and millions of dollars that he's gotten from our enemies, influence peddling, in order to... Now, he's innocent until proven guilty according to our courts, but the evidence says that he's guilty. I mean, we have a ton of evidence. We have no evidence on the other guy, and they're after him tooth and nail to take the... See what I mean? It's lies and deceit and lies and deceit and lies and deceit. But what do we have? John 17, 17 says, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This word is truth. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for light. Thank God that we can go in here and get the truth. Thank God we can go in here. You need faith? Get some. Just come and get some. You need love? Just come and get some. This is God's word. God is love. His word is truth. His word is liberating. His word is powerful. The truth liberates. The truth sets you free, makes you free. The truth makes you something that nothing else will. It'll set you apart. It'll make you one with God. The truth is something that the devil hates. And everybody that follows the devil hates the truth. And one day they're going to get a rude awakening when they see that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I'm telling you something, there is something coming very soon, and I don't know what it is. I'm not going to prophesy what it is, but I'm saying something, a reckoning is coming very soon. Because as Sodom and Gomorrah filled up with sin, look at the media. It's filling up with lies. And Jesus said, in that day, near the end days, one thing will be, one of the signs of the end time will be deception. And the disciples came and said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And he said, see that no man deceive you. Deception, deception, deception. And it'll be so thick and so prominent and so authoritative that it will even deceive the very elect if it was possible. That's how thick it's going to get. People aren't going to, you've got artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. Think about those two words together. I mean, it's like, what do you even, there is no more foundation. Everything is movable. This week we'll prove it. Next week we'll disprove it. This is right this time, not that. Not a, 5 years ago it was pedophile. Now it's minor attraction. Now it's so sick and twisted. There's a reckoning coming. And last year, a lot of things settled, permanently settled. That was a year of sifting and settling we had, right? There's a reckoning coming. Because if Jesus feels that way and he gets mafioso about one little child getting offended, look at the millions of children in this country who are being programmed sexually before they even know what sex is. So that by the time they get there, they'll be so confused, they don't know what, and they can be totally manipulated, totally dominated, and totally regulated. There's a reckoning coming. Jesus is going to start standing up. What we need to do is say, oh God, I lift up our schools to you, and I declare that you are the refuge for our children. You are the fortress for our children. We trust in you. You are our God. When we start saying that, and not getting involved in all the arguments and everything. The arguments are going to come and go. Those are the things of man. God's word is eternal. And when we start speaking that eternal word and in prayer, in that secret place with our room shut, where we get the cares of the world outside and everything else and separate ourselves unto God and say, Lord, and mean it with every, I will say of you, you are my God, my fortress, my refuge. The refuge for our country, our nation, because that affects me. My freedom, you are the Lord of my freedom, and that affects me. You are the Lord of our government, that affects me. You are Lord of those who make choices concerning me. I bring them in under the new covenant, and I loose the Spirit of God on them in the name of Jesus. I loose the ministry of angels on them in the name of Jesus to bring around the correct decisions that will affect me positively. And my children positively. That's what we need to do. We got work to do. Because when we do that, Jesus rises up and he starts saying stuff. And then the Father has something to say. And when he says something, it is his blessing that he is speaking into us, empowering us, and equipped. Think about this. When God spoke the blessing over Adam, he made him Lord of the earth. Small L, of the earth. Adam was not an eternal God. God is eternal. Man was a created being. So, when he made him, he gave all things. He gave him dominion over every single thing in the earth. And then the final act of creation was the blessing. Be! What is that? That empowered him to have dominion over the earth and to manage it successfully. That's what blessing is. It's empowering to prosper over creation. It's supernatural power. The truth is that you need to reach out and take it. When you meditate on the Word of God, it changes you. The truth is not an obvious thing. The truth has to be revealed. They that worship in spirit and in truth, spirit and in truth, spirit and in truth. Truth is a spiritual force. It needs to come out of your spirit. It comes by praying in tongues. It comes by speaking the word of God, memorizing scripture if you have to, and speaking that scripture and speaking it and meditating and muttering about it, and truth suddenly comes. Truth. And you realize that you've been free all this time. Do you remember when you first spoke in tongues? Yes. And you said, man, I could have done this a long time ago. I could have. But you didn't have the faith to go ahead and do it and cooperate with it. Now that you're cooperating with it, guess what? You have rivers. Here's truth. Rivers of living water flowing from within you. You ever see what rivers do to landscape? They rearrange it. Yeah. Have you ever seen a flood? Lori and I went to visit her brother one time over in Missouri. And there were, at that time, they were just getting over these huge floods that the Mississippi overflowed. And I forget when that was, but it was back in the 1900s. But the land looked terrible. I mean, it just looked devastated. When you start speaking in tongues, when you start declaring the word of God, I'm telling you something, floods of living water will destroy the devil's plans and plots. Everything that he set up will just get knocked over. You got to understand the power that's inside of you, spiritual. Now, this is a spiritual kingdom. Truth is a spiritual force. God is a spirit. He identifies. He is the truth. When you speak the truth, Jesus is that truth. And he goes to fulfill it. In the earth, we have a working New Testament, a new living testament. And the provisions of that testament are amazing. I had some stuff written down. I just got to find it. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You know, a few Wednesday nights ago, Stephen mentioned something about buckler. He said, "What? You know what a buckler is?" I said, "I think it's the guy who buckles your armor on or something." And he said, "No." He said, "On these shields, they're big shields that cover the whole soldier, right? And on the sides of those are these little buckles that couple with the shield next to him and couple with the shield next to him. And so it's like a wall of defense so they can go forward offensively and protected together. His truth, if his truth is your buckle, you are locking shields with angels. You are locking shields with power. You are locking shields with heaven's resources. You're locking shields with something that cannot be defeated, cannot be overthrown, has no weaknesses in it whatsoever, is total light. And when you start moving in that light, it drives the darkness out. That's truth. That's the secret of truth. Boy, thank you for that, Stephen. Isn't that good? That's why Elisha could say to his servant, there's more with us than them be with them. And the servant said, what? He said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he saw the hills flooded with chariots of fire, ready to do whatever Elisha said. You have an innumerable company of angels, it says in Hebrews chapter 12. You've come to Mount Zion. That's the truth. The city of the great king. To an innumerable company of angels who are ready to do whatever you say. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him I trust. Now in the New Testament, here's the secret place, right here. Hear that? That's my secret place. Right there. Because he's there now. He lives in me. When I walk, he walks. He says, I'll live in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Like we started off with this service, God knows exactly where you're at. And you know what? He doesn't care. What he does care about is blood. And there is nothing that is out of reach of his blood. There is no sin, no shortage, no failure, no nothing, no past, no present, no future, no, that is stronger than the love that shed that blood and paid. Listen to this. It says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Where does it say that? That we have, it says, he said this, my little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. God doesn't want us to sin. Why? Because it opens up inroads to the enemy, right? It's not good for you. You reap bad harvests and so forth. He says, these things I'm writing to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. There is not one sin, not one sin. I don't care how deep and dark, I don't care if it was Hitler or anybody else. There is no sin that is more powerful than the blood that came from Jesus' veins. One drop, but he gave it all. There is no sin that is greater than that blood. And there is no sin that cannot be cleansed by that blood and cleansed from all unrighteousness. I give you Saul of Tarsus, a murderer, a slanderer, a self-righteous bigot who had enough of his disgrace when he met Jesus, and it ruined him for his past purposes, but it equipped him for God's purposes. There is a door that the truth gives you. There is a door that you have to leave behind and walk through into your room and close the door behind you and speak and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And he who sees in secret will reward you openly. That is the secret of truth. That is the key that unlocks the kingdom of heaven and the power to kick in the gates of hell. God has a purpose for you. He doesn't have a purpose for sickness. He doesn't have a purpose for that. No, all those things are the result of the fall. And the devil was the author of all of that. But he does have a purpose for you. And he will lead you and guide you by his Spirit. Not by accidents, not by sickness, not by shortcomings, not by anything else. No, if you think that those things are from God, you'll never resist it. And if you never resist it, you'll never apply the faith it takes to overcome it. Does that make sense to you, what I just said? Okay. You got to stand. It says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee. Boy, so many things are coming to me right now. I could just do scatter fire for a little while here, but I think we've gotten the point. Truth is a liberator. When Jesus speaks truth to you, it may seem impossible for you to do or for you to be, but he wouldn't ask you to do something you couldn't do. That would be an unjust God. So he says to do it, and when you start to do it, it will make you free. James called it the law of liberty. He who continues in the law of liberty. What is that? That's the word of God. That's the truth. If you continue in truth, the truth will make you free. If you continue in the law of liberty and continue and continue and continue and continue and continue, this is the secret of truth. You continue and continue in my word and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. But you got to continue in it. Until when? Until you're free. And when you decide that you're not going to quit until you're free, you won't be there for very long. Freedom will be yours. Truth. His truth is my shield and my buckler, and I'm not alone. Amen. Praise God. All right. Hope you got something out of that. Praise God. Everybody say this: I have dominion.
I have dominion.
In the earth.
In the earth.
What I say goes.
What I say goes.
Because my Father is my helper. The Holy Spirit is in me. Quickening me. Living big in me. Producing in me what He desires. His word is accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. And that word will prosper in the purpose under which it was sent. I am an overcomer. That's the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.